everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Tom, I was looking at the average hitting 100 degrees after 2000, so the last 25-year average. Mid-May, around the 15th or 16th, and so I think we may hold off a little bit.
So this summer, this year, 2024, may turn out to be kind of an average summer.
Yeah.
Not overly hot.
Average.
Not overly rainy, maybe, but just average.
Average. I'll take average.
I'll take it, too.
I'm with you on that. When it comes to weather in Tucson, Arizona, the Buckmaster Show in our 14th year, coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, which is part of the Bustos Media Campus, where we have five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which is also the place for all of the podcasts, going all the way back to the first week of 2011. When we do our telephone interviews, that is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health. She's internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve the American healthcare system challenges. Together with her team at the center, she created and implemented education programs that have trained thousands of physicians, nurses, and other healthcare professionals and impacted the care of millions of people. A highly sought-after speaker, Dr. Mazes is editor of the Oxford University textbook Integrative Women's Health and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mazes co-hosts with Dr. Weil the popular podcast, Body of Wonder. She was named one of the world's 25 intelligent optimists by Ode Magazine. Follow her on X at Dr. Mazes and on her website at integrativemedicine.arizona.edu. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you, Bill?
Doing well. A lot of folks take naps. I've kind of been a big napper when possible all my life. It's an ancient custom that is practiced worldwide. Some people view napping as a luxury. Others, like myself, believe it maintains alertness and well-being. But it has, I know it has its ups and downs, right?
Yeah, let's talk about it. I'll just say I'm a little envious because I am a terrible napper. Huh? I'm a good sleeper, but boy, it is a special trick to be able to lie down and nap for just a bit. And you and I were going to talk about napping like an astronaut.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think, referred to, Dr. Mazes, as power napping.
Yes. This is the thing, you know, in space, of course, they don't have the same day and night cycles because usually the rocket ships are going around the Earth several times a day. And so they see several sunsets and several sunrises. And yet we know when people don't sleep normally, and we could talk about what normal sleep is in a little bit, that they don't function as well. And if there's anyone you want to function well, it is people who are up in space, like the astronauts, or pilots. We know that errors and you know, sadly, crashes are often associated with people being sleep deprived.
Yeah, NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, has been exploring this area of napping really going back to 1995, and it is a strategy to keep pilots alert during their shift.
Right. And so one of the things that they did is they tried to figure out what's the ideal amount of time for someone to nap, because if you've ever had a really long nap, you know that you sometimes wake up groggy.
Yeah.
And there's a special term for that. It's called sleep inertia. And they think it's because you've gotten into the deep part of sleep. And so actually, shorter naps are better. And what the NASA scientists found is it's good to give people a 40-minute opportunity. Now, that word opportunity is interesting because, of course, it usually takes people a little time to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that the pilots who napped for 26 minutes, usually under a half hour, but 26 minutes, had a 54% increase in alertness and a 34% better performance on the job compared to pilots who did not nap.
Wow. So even getting just less than a half hour can make a huge difference.
That's exactly right. And it is recommended that people take short naps so that they don't get into that sleep inertia problem. But napping has a lot of really great health benefits. It is something that lowers blood pressure. It leads to better heart health. And actually, in countries where a siesta is part of the culture, they do think that's one of the reasons why heart health may be better. It reduces reaction time, so people's reflexes are better. It increases focus and concentration, and it improves memory and creativity.
Hmm. Well, so the key is the time. The nap should be relatively short.
That's exactly right. And also the timing matters. So, you know, we're diurnal creatures. We're most alert in the morning and in the evening. And most of us feel a bit sleepy in the early afternoon. And it turns out this is not just because, you know, we ate a big lunch or a carbohydrate-rich lunch. It's part of our circadian rhythm that we're a little sleepy in the early afternoon. So the ideal time to take a nap is early afternoon. And this has been studied, and they found that a 25-minute nap that started at about 12:20 in the afternoon, just about the time we're at now, increases alertness by, you know, both subjective and objective criteria. And they also found that a nap slightly later had additional benefits.
Wake up, Tom, on the other side of the glass there. Don't fall asleep on us now. I know we're getting close to the ideal napping time, but this is when I've got to be at my best right here during the noon hour. So what about sleep? What, you know, getting back to napping is one thing, but then, of course, your primary sleep at night. There's some controversy, isn't there, over what is considered the ideal amount of time to sleep?
Yes. Well, I don't think there's controversy. I think most people believe that the ideal amount of sleep for most human beings is 7 to 9 hours.
Okay.
So that's a range, obviously. Some people need a little less, some people need a little more. But it turns out that just measuring the number of hours is not quite a good enough measurement because, you know, if you think about it, when you lie down in bed, most people have a little time till they fall asleep. That's called latency. So I know for myself, because I've been wearing a sleep tracker, it takes me about 20 minutes to fall asleep. So even if I lay down, for example, for 8 hours, if I slept all the way through the night, I'd only be getting 8 hours and 40 minutes because it takes me some time.
Mm-hmm.
But is true for lots of people, I wake up a few times at night. Happily, I don't wake up for a long time, but maybe there's another 20 or 30 minutes where I'm awake. And so I have to subtract that from the total time, too. And that's why that earlier word about NASA giving the pilots a sleep opportunity recognizes that the fact that you're laying down on a bed doesn't mean that you're asleep the whole time.
How about sleep aids, natural sleep aids like chamomile or something like that?
Well, that is a really great question. I am in favor of chamomile tea, which does help people relax. And, you know, it's an oldie but goodie in terms of helping mm-hmm. people sleep. Some people find melatonin to be very helpful in helping them to fall asleep. I favor the sublingual kind, and I think the lowest dose that works, so that could be as low as 0.3 milligrams, Usually it comes as 1 milligram, so you could, you know, break it into little pieces if you want. When you put it under the tongue, it's absorbed much faster than if it has to go into your stomach. So that's another possibility. Valerian is a long history of use, hundreds of years. And that is helpful and doesn't kind of mess up people's normal sleep architecture. But what I recommend people not do is sleeping pills. Sleeping pills have a lot of downsides. They lead to dependency over time. They often stop working. And it is sometimes associated with people doing things unaware, and so they can drive impaired, essentially, because they're not even aware that they're awake.
Mm. Whoa. So if you valerian is it taken in a pill form, is that the way it would be?
Yes. Or, yeah, most people do take it as a capsule. It is available as well as a tincture or a tea. But it smells bad. People say it smells like old socks.
Oh.
And so most people prefer it in the capsule where they can't really discern the odor, as opposed to as a tea or a tincture.
Okay. Any final words on napping before we change subjects here?
Yes. One important thing. If you are someone who has insomnia or you have difficulty with sleep, do not nap. That may sound counterintuitive because you're tired in the day. You want to nap. But if you avoid napping, you build up a greater sleep hunger or sleep urgency. And so you're more likely to have a good night's sleep at night if you don't nap during the day. And that also goes for just people who have good sleep, but don't nap too late in the day, because once again, then the urge to sleep will be diminished.
Good advice, Dr. Mazes. Stick around. We're going to take a break right here. Talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, where they're celebrating Tucson lifestyle, naming Mona's Tucson's favorite bakery. I second the motion on that. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are the home of the Danish Kringle, and now they have an enhanced dining experience. You can have an alcoholic beverage as you dine at Mona's. Mona's Danish Bakery, located, again, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Be right back with Dr. Mazes. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We go back now on the live line for our conversation with our health contributor, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine. Well, prescription for a dance class, prescriptions for social activities, exercise, the arts, and on it goes. First became popular over in Great Britain. Apparently it's coming to America. And Dr. Mazes, it's known as social prescribing.
Yeah, I have to say, I love this. years ago, I was thinking about writing a book that I wanted to call Prescriptions for Health. And it was filled with this kind of recommendation to people. We like prescriptions, right? We like to go, when we go to the doctor, to receive something in hand. Often these prescriptions are for medicines. Many of us aren't eager to take a lot of medicines or think we're already on too many medicines. Mm-hmm. So imagine if that prescription, and I've done this, said, you know, get a massage once a month, right? You know, have your husband take out the trash. You know?
Uh-huh.
Like, what if they were activities that gave you pleasure, as you mentioned, dancing, going to the canyon, Sabino Canyon, for example, for a hike? What if they were things that really supported good health?
Yeah, and looking at even a prescription for a particular food, which would be like a good medicine.
Yeah, and actually, you know, these exist in the United States already. I was in England in the summer, last summer, last June, and they spoke about this social prescribing at the conference, and it's really very well developed there, and it's supported by their healthcare system. Of course, their healthcare system is different from ours, and it was very exciting to hear this panel that included doctors and health coaches and some of the participants. I'll give you one example that I heard. There was a man who had diabetes, and he had a little bit of neuropathy in his feet that made it hard for him to get up and down steps. He lived on the third floor of an apartment building, and it didn't have an elevator, and it really meant that he had to think twice about, was he going to go out? And this social prescribing program found him a new apartment on the ground level so he could get outdoors and walk. That's very interesting, social prescribing. I don't know that in our country we're going to go that far, but there was a lovely article that was written in the New York Times about some of the social prescribing that are happening. So, for example, in New Jersey, there was an insurance provider who teamed up with the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, and they are offering patients glass-blowing workshops and access to museums and to concerts. There's a nonprofit organization in the state of Utah that is connecting mental health patients with community gardens. There are programs at universities, and one of the ones that was called out was Stanford University that is offering classes, and they described a young woman who was taking an improv class and having a wonderful time, and, you know, was helping her have less anxiety. So these programs are indeed happening, and I believe they can make a big difference.
Yes, and then there's our healthcare system that may get in the way in certain cases, right, Dr. Mazes?
Well, it may. And yet, in the United States, we do recognize that what we call the social determinants of health have a really important impact on people's health and well-being and also on their quality of life. And social determinants of health include things like, do you have access to safe housing, transportation? Does your neighborhood feel safe so that you can walk? Do you have access to clean air and water, to nutritious food, to the opportunity to get out and exercise? What kind of education and job opportunities do you have? Do you face racism or discrimination or violence? So all of these have very significant effect on people's health and well-being. And actually, in Healthy People 2030, there are five recommendations that we as a healthcare system, because this is Healthy People 2030, consider. And that includes economic stability, education access and quality, healthcare access and quality, neighborhood and built environment, and social and community context that leads to increased interactions with others, because being in good relationships increases people's health and well-being.
Well, this is all kind of, I mean, it's sort of one of the tenets of the integrative medicine program, you know, health and well-being that's not necessarily coming out of a prescription bottle.
So thank you so much for saying that. I completely agreed. In fact, when I read this article in the New York Times that talks about social prescription for health, I forwarded it to my colleagues at the Integrative Medicine Center, and I said, this is so beautifully aligned with what we do in integrative medicine. And indeed, I think that when we help people to find strategies, not medicines, but being physically active, eating a healthier diet, managing stress, getting a good night's sleep, as we talked about in the first segment, we are giving them the message that they have control, that they have the ability to impact their own health, as opposed to it needs to come from a prescription bottle that somebody else has control over.
Let's see if we can get a quick question in. Caller Paul would like to ask Dr. Mazes a question or has a comment. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, thank you. We're losing our primary or family physician, and he is recommending that that we get a nurse practitioner or a doctor's assistant as a primary care. Do you think that is sufficient for our family?
That's such a great question, Paul. I will say that in the United States, indeed, we are bringing both nurse practitioners and physician assistants into the healthcare team to do a lot of the primary care. Now, whether it's sufficient for your family depends a little bit on the health status of your family. So, you know, if everybody is really pretty healthy or maybe has, let's say, a more minor problem, say some high blood pressure or has, you know, mild asthma, absolutely your nurse practitioner, your physician assistant is trained to help manage that. But if someone has a more serious medical problem, say they have type 1 diabetes or they have congestive heart failure or something that's a more serious chronic health problem, then you may need a person who's more specialized to address that particular issue.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. Let's work one more question in. Roberta, go ahead with Dr. Mazes. Nope, lost her. Dr. Mazes, you're in your new building. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about the transition, please?
Oh, we have a just magnificent complex, actually, of buildings. We have three buildings. We call one the mind and one the body and one the spirit. You're not going to be surprised by that.
No.
The mind is a three-story building, and it is where our offices are and our conference rooms and our administrative space. And then I'm looking across to the building that we call the body, which has a large teaching kitchen and a room that could be multi-purpose, so used for movement or yoga. And we have a smaller building called the Spirit, which has space for meditation or reflection. And it's got beautiful grounds in between and some lovely outdoor space. And we welcome the Tucson community. In fact, a few days ago on Saturday, we had an open house welcoming anyone to come through and see the building. And there'll be lots of opportunities to come and participate in programs in this new building complex, which we're just so excited to finally have open.
Let's see if we've got Roberta back. Roberta, I'm almost out of time, real quickly.
Okay. Dr. Mazes, have you heard of Carbon 60, and would you recommend it or not?
I'm sorry, I am not familiar with Carbon 60, so I can't be a source of information for you.
All right. Dr. Mazes, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Folks can follow you and, of course, your popular podcast with Dr. Weil, Body of Wonder. And you are on, of course, X, formerly known as Twitter, at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Coming up next, why is Finland the happiest place on earth? People over there very happy. Year after year, the United Nations names Finland as the world's happiest country. We'll talk a little bit about that and find out why right after we take the mid-show break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. And just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, Green Things, everything you could imagine for your spring gardening. And it is the perfect time for that spring gardening. After all, we haven't hit 100 degrees yet, and we have had, in my 36 years here in town, I think the most delightful winter and probably the nicest spring so far that I can recall. GreenThingsAZ.com. And their sister business is Zocalo Village. Their website, ZocaloVillage.com. For 6 years in a row, Finland has ranked number one for happiness in the United Nations Annual Happiness Report, which places, by the way, the United States at 15th place out of 149 countries in the survey. So what makes Finland such a happy place? That's one of the questions explored in a new public television documentary that will be airing here in Tucson on May 12th, Mother's Day, hosted and co-produced by former Tucson City Councilwoman and one-time KGON 9 anchor, Nina Trasoff, who joins me now in studio. Hey, Nina, how are you?
I am doing well, Bill. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Always a pleasure. And I'm curious, and I'm sure all of the listeners are, we've probably all heard, it's been in the news almost every year about what country ranks number one, and it's Finland. So how did this project come about, Nina?
Well, and actually, Bill, to update you, in the last couple of weeks, the latest statistics are out, and it's the seventh year in a row.
Okay.
And the United States has dropped to 23.
Oh, okay.
A colleague and friend of mine talked with me about going over to try and explore why. We see the statistics, but what is there about Finland and how they do things, and what could we learn from what they do and mm-hmm. their approaches? Mm-hmm. And so we spent 10 days in September of 22, and we talked with people in a variety of fields and went out and covered things from healthcare to childcare to education to the prison system to the government. All of these things, and how do they, in nature, because saunas are very big there.
Yeah.
We say saunas here,
saunas.
But saunas there.
Sauna.
And it's just an integral part, but it actually makes sense because it's a coming together and a commonality. So we explored.
And how do they pull this off, the economic component of all of this?
Taxes are pretty high.
Yeah, I could imagine.
And I spoke with several people on the upper end.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't you mind mm-hmm. paying high taxes? Like a woman who was a college professor who mm-hmm. had no children, mm-hmm. who was in her 60s and mm-hmm. very comfortable. Don't you mind? She said, why would I mind? It is a society. We're all part of it. And the better they are, the better I am.
Mm-hmm.
And a journalist who wrote a book who was the foundation for some of what we did said the same thing. It's not self-serving. It's not, I mean, it's not generosity to pay the taxes. It's self-serving
mm-hmm.
because people around me do better. It's better for me.
Their education system is always highly touted as being one of the best in the world. What makes it so special?
They value teachers.
Mm-hmm. Teachers are highly paid, I think.
They're highly paid. They almost all have master's degrees. Mm-hmm. They know what they need to cover and what they need to teach in a given semester. But how they do that is up to them. And the classrooms I visited were so innovative, and actually they weren't innovative, they're the norm there, but for mm-hmm. me it was innovation,
yeah.
that a teacher doesn't stand up and lecture. Mm. A teacher doesn't teach. A teacher guides the students how to learn. And so one classroom we were in, they were probably early middle schoolers, maybe seventh graders, and she had given them something to explore. And they went off in groups of fours and fives on their computers and started researching, working together, putting together, and then they made the report to the class. Now, the teacher obviously is there, if they get something wrong, to guide them.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process, the students are learning how to research. They're learning how to find facts. They're learning how to work with each other. They're learning how to put together a report and how to present, all at the same time, rather than having a teacher stand up there. And they do have standardized tests. It's the teacher's option whether they take them, and if they do take them, how they use them. They're not used to rank A, B, C level schools. They're used for the teacher to see how well she or he is doing to be able to grow from that. And actually, one of the higher ups in the education department with whom I spoke said, you can move anywhere in Finland and know that you can have a good school. All schools are within 2% of each other in achievement.
So it's pretty standard then. Wherever you go in the country, you're going to get a very good education.
Rural, city, wherever, yes.
And the healthcare system there, I mean, look, half the problem here in the United States is people are just living in fear they're going to get some major illness and it's going to bankrupt them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not an issue there. They have the healthcare from pre-birth, maternal care, all the way through
cradle to grave, as they say.
Completely. Yeah. Completely. And physicians, it's a different system. I mean, the physicians aren't these people held on high. Mm-hmm. They're very well respected. They're very well trained. Mm-hmm. But they are just part of an entire system of community.
And the health benefits of sauna, we mispronounce it, as you pointed out, but there are tremendous health benefits with going in the sauna.
There are so many. It's health as well as mental, physical health as well as mental health and community health, because you come together in the sauna and you share. Mm-hmm. It's been very interesting. They've been trying to deal recently with the fact that a lot of the uppers now are upper levels, C-level people are not just men, but men and women. So how do we go into a sauna together? But they're working their way through that, and they come together and they just talk things through.
Are they sold on the governmental system there, or is it like the United States where fewer and fewer people seem to even care?
No, they're involved. From what I could see, they respect their government. How's that?
Mm.
They have confidence in their government, and the government officials I talked with are very aware of the fact that that's important. And what was also interesting, I went expecting to be, well, I'm gray-haired now, but back when I was a brunette, I figured I'd be the darkest-haired person around. And it is a country that is accepting more and more immigrants, a lot from Afghanistan and Somalia.
Mm.
And finding ways to integrate them both in terms of language and culture and living. And two of the officials I talked with in the Helsinki government, one was a vice mayor of Helsinki, and she was an Afghan immigrant. And there was a man who was African-Finnish mix, who was born there, but obviously is of mixed race. And he's the number one or number two of Bureau of Interior for the state, for the country. It's the norm now. You walk around and people are comfortable. And part of what I really love is, like, the Afghan family I visited with, when they came over, they were given public housing.
Sure.
Not out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're in this beautiful apartment building, in a two-bedroom apartment for two kids and the parents, with a balcony overlooking a green area on a major tram line, and the other apartments are occupied by people who are paying full rent. So they're not isolated, that this is where the poor people go or the immigrants go. Everybody is together, and so they get to know each other as human beings.
Sounds kind of utopian.
In a way. I mean, it's not without its challenges.
Now, what are some of the challenges, real quickly?
Well, winter is long and cruel, and the darkness gets to people. There is a problem with alcoholism. There are problems with mental health, but they acknowledge them and they deal with them. I mean, even the prison system is so different from here and so humane, with the understanding that these people are going to get out back into society. What do you want them to be when they get out amongst us? Worse than when they went in, or with an education and having maintained relationships?
All right, Nina Trasoff, looking forward to the documentary. And tell us about where people will be able to view it.
On Sunday evening at 5 o'clock on KUAT, it will be aired. And then also this evening, Wednesday evening, 6 p.m., if you go to azpm.org, there's a place where you can sign in and get information about a Zoom meeting tonight, where they're doing a preview of the full documentary, and then afterwards my director and I will be doing question and answer with people tonight. So I hope people will search that out and log on.
Sounds great. All right, Nina Trasoff, congratulations as you explore the very happy place, Finland. Thank you, Nina.
My pleasure, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson and lots to do out there. A lot of outdoor activities, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, on it goes. Lots to do, great places to stay, and great places to eat as well in historic downtown Silver City, all that wonderful Victorian architecture. The website is southwestnewmexico.org for more information, and hope you'll take that approximately three-hour drive over to a beautiful area, the southwest portion of the Land of Enchantment. Let's welcome now our contributor on Wildcat Sports, Troy Hutchison, who works at GoAZCats.com. He joins us now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Good. How have you been?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. I guess the University of Arizona football team did pretty well in the 2024 portal wars, as John Wilner from the reporting for Pac-12 Hotline in today's Arizona Daily Star says actually Wildcats were one of the big winners in the portal wars.
Yeah, you know, one of the big winners in a way that you didn't lose high-level players at the last minute. You're able to keep your roster intact. Yes, you lost Kevin Green. Yes, you lost Jordan Washington. But those are losses you can make up for. And when you look up and down the roster, Arizona still kept everything pretty much intact and really put themselves in a place to be successful for the 2024 season.
And quarterback talk now is turning to even Heisman talk, Troy.
Yeah, you know, just coming off of a great year last year for Noah Fifita, going in there after Jaden Delora got injured in the Stanford game and not coming out, you saw him really just propel his career last season. And now, you know, everybody's talking about you for the Heisman. Arizona fans have seen this before, but to me, this is a little bit different of a situation. You know, going back to Khalil Tate coming in that October that he had where he put up huge, you know, video game-like numbers. You saw, you know, some holes in the game throughout the season. Where you look at Noah Fifita, his is more passing operated and more, you know, you're natural, you're more, you know, traditional style of a quarterback with the ability to run. And he's set himself up for a really good sophomore season, you know, a redshirt sophomore season. You have Tetro McMillan back, the offensive line back, good running backs in the backfield. So he's in position to really put his mark on the Heisman race and potentially be there in New York come, you know, the last week in the college football.
Does Noah stack up, match up, if you had to look at, say, the old alignment with the Pac-12 compared to now what they're going into, does he line up pretty well with the new situation?
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at the Pac-12 and the quarterbacks that they had last season, Michael Penix, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, just to name a few, and there's other quarterbacks in that league, Fifita was easily one of the top five, which is saying a lot. Puts them in the top 20, top 15 nationally. You had three quarterbacks in the Pac-12 go in the first round of the NFL draft. So you're going into the Big 12 that has quarterback talent like Shador Sanders at Colorado, who was in the Pac-12 last season. You have other guys that have transferred in like KJ Jefferson from Arkansas to Central Florida. There's talent at the quarterback position in the Big 12, but I don't think it's anything like what fans saw the last couple years in the Pac-12. When you went up and down rosters, there's probably only three teams, ASU, Cal, and Stanford, where they didn't have a quarterback, where the rest of the conference not only had a quarterback, but a high-level quarterback as well. So I don't know if it's that deep of a conference at the quarterback position, but it's still a very good conference with good quarterbacks as well.
The transfer portal was not kind to Jed Fish and his new program up at the Washington Huskies.
Yeah, you know, I think initially when Jed left, you had a feeling that, you know what, I'm going to probably be able to get anybody I want from Arizona to come and transfer in with me. You know, we've recruited these guys. We've developed these guys. Sure, they'll follow me, and we'll do the same thing that we did at Arizona at Washington. You know, it's just not that easy. I think the biggest difference from Arizona and most college teams and most college towns, where you see a head coach leave, a high profile head coach, and they take everybody with them, is that Arizona football is very Polynesian driven. It is a very tight knit community. Anybody that's been around the Polynesian culture and community, you know how family oriented it is. And once Noah and T-Mac decided that they were staying because of the university, the city, the fans, and really the culture that they built here in Tucson, it was pretty, I don't want to say easy getting the rest of the roster to come back to Arizona, but again, it's very family oriented. You know, it's a lot of guys that they grew up playing with, a lot of guys they played a lot of football with. And, you know, once they were staying, that was pretty much it. Most of the roster was going to stay. And you've really seen that connectiveness, that close bond throughout spring practice as well.
Troy Hutchinson joining us on our live line. Troy from GoAZCats.com. What was any big thing that jumped out at you watching Coach Brennan as compared to the style of Jed Fish? You watched a lot of spring ball and you watched the spring game. What jumped out at you as kind of a big difference?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say a couple of things here. One, Jed's staff, they did a terrific job of developing. I don't think anybody could take that away from them. But when you talk to Brennan and you talk about old Arizona football, you know, the Dick Tomey days, even a little bit into the Larry Smith days and Desert Swarm defense and bringing back the culture of Arizona. Jed talked about all that and did it to an extent. But when you see Brennan talk about it, you know it's coming from a place of genuineness, being a guy that has been at Arizona as a grad assistant coach underneath Brennan, coached underneath Dick Tomey, and really gets that aspect, an alumni aspect of the university. And, you know, it just wasn't a used carsman pitch atmosphere. I want to say, you know, it didn't have that vibe. It had a vibe of genuineness, family oriented, and really togetherness of, you know what, we got a great roster going right now at Arizona, and we're going to try to keep it together and really hone in on that family environment. And you saw it throughout spring practice from Brennan, from Coach Aquina to Coach Babers, really everybody involved. Just the atmosphere has changed a little bit at Arizona. Not saying it was bad before, but definitely a different style of coaching with this staff than the previous staff.
The magazines, the sports magazines, will be out actually in a matter of weeks, starting with, you know, the football magazines will be doing their predictions. How are we going to shape up Troy Hutchison?
Well, I think right now Vegas has Arizona at 7.5 wins for the season total. When you look at the Big 12, the teams to beat are going to be Arizona, Utah, Kansas State, maybe throw Kansas and Oklahoma State in there as well. Those teams have been pretty consistent over the last several years, and a team like TCU can come up and surprise you. But I think it's going to really be a three-horse race in the Big 12 with Arizona, Kansas State, and Utah. And for Arizona, the ironic part about that is Kansas State will be a non-conference game, the third football game of the season, and then that's on the road. Then you have a bye week, and you go into Utah. Your first conference game is in Salt Lake City. So you're getting it right up front. You're going to get the brunt of the schedule right there from the start. I think if Arizona is able to go 1-2 in those games, not 1-2, 1-1, at least split that week, they could line up pretty successfully. Right now, if I had to pick, I think Arizona probably finishes second or third in the Big 12 at 9-3. Still a very good season, but until you shore up the edge rushers and really solidify that number two corner spot, it's hard to pick Arizona as the Big 12 champ. And, you know, we don't know how this coaching staff is going to be in the middle of games compared to Jed Fish and that staff. You kind of got a sense of what they were going to do. So until you know that, I don't think you can pick Arizona as a 11-1 team to win the Big 12, but it's not out of the realm of the possibility. I think they're going to be right there in the mix and potentially finish 9-3 and go to another big-time bowl game.
All right. In the remaining seconds, tell our listeners again about where you work, goazcats.com.
Yeah, so again, Go AZ Cats is a part of the Rivals Foundation. We are the team website out here in Arizona for the Arizona Wildcats. We cover everything from Arizona football, men's basketball, women's basketball, softball, baseball, soccer, you name it. We cover everything under the sun here at Arizona. And not only is it team coverage, but it is high-level recruiting coverage as well, with people out in Southern California and in Texas getting top information on our message boards and social media. So you can follow us at goazcats.com or myself at thutch95 on Twitter and sign up. I believe it's $10.95 a month. It might be $9.95 a month. I can't remember off the top of my head, but the subscription is worth it. And, you know, the message boards, there's a lot of good information on there and premium content as well.
All right, Troy Hutchison, always a pleasure. Thanks, Troy.
Have a good day.
All right. On behalf of Troy and Tom on the other side of the glass, this is Bill wishing everybody well on this Wednesday afternoon.